The Mexican director Alfonso Cuarón is best known to American audiences for his sexy coming-of-age hit, Y Tu Mama También. His new film follows another set of young people. It's based on the third book of the Harry Potter series, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. David Edelstein has this review.
What a drag it was 3 years ago when Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone became a movie, and the director turned out to be the genial Hollywood yes-man Chris Columbus. It was a twinkly, Christmassy, family picture, with none of the subversive energy out of which this series was created. I don't mean that J.K. Rowling is some kind of punk agitator, but these books are angry. They're written in a rage against a fascist strain in the blue-blood English upper crust and their clueless allies, the vulgarly snobbish middle-class muggles. Every book begins with the lonely, friendless, maltreated orphan Harry shut in his room, practicing magic in secret, just as Rowling must have shut herself away to summon the pagan fury to forge each new adventure. The first sign that Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban is different is the way the new director, the Mexican Alfonso Cuarón, shoots the first scene, in which we discover Daniel Radcliffe's Harry under his covers doing something naughty. No, not that. He's playing with his wand. He's testing out his potency. Look, there's room for sexual suggestiveness because Harry isn't prepubescent anymore, and neither is Radcliffe. He's a gangly English teen, and he's very prickly, the quintessential hormonal adolescent. When a nasty aunt insults his dead parents, Harry can't contain his rage and blows her up like a barrage balloon. And Cuarón doesn't direct the scene for whimsy. He's one step away from some David Cronenberg vision in which she's splattered all over the walls. To have Harry in the hands of a real director is thrilling. Now we're inside this universe, and it's liberating, but also feverish and scary. The palette has changed. The contrasts are higher, the blacks deeper, and Cuarón irises in and out of scenes like some German silent expressionist. Harry is in mortal danger. Sirius Black, a wizard who's supposed to have it in for him, has escaped from the prison Azkaban, and the guards who pursue Black are maybe worse than he is. They're cowled, skeletal creatures called Dementors who suck people's souls out of their bodies. The train ride to Harry's school, Hogwarts, is in a thunderstorm, and even Hermione and Ron, played once more by Emma Watson and Rupert Grint, are spooked.
Let me get this straight. Sirius Black has escaped from Azkaban to come after you.
Yeah.
But they'll catch Black, won't they? Everyone's looking for him. Why are we stopping? He can't be there yet.
What's going on?
Dunno. Maybe we've broken down.
Ouch, Ron, that was my foot.
There's something moving out there. I think someone's coming aboard.
The Dementors who search the train are not quite as bone-chilling as I hoped they'd be, at least compared to Peter Jackson's ringwraiths in Lord of the Rings. But there's a chilling effect when they hover and seem to pull off their victims' faces like taffy. Harry says they make him feel cold, like he'll never be cheerful again, which is a good way of talking about real adolescent depression. And director Cuarón is mindful of these metaphors, so the movie works on more than one level. Well, it isn't gangbusters on the narrative level. Although possibly the best of the books, this is very much a middle chapter. It loses steam in the second half, and there's no climactic wand-off with some ultimate bad guy. Gary Oldman can be terrific, but he's too finicky and small of spirit for Sirius Black, and Michael Gambon, replacing the late Richard Harris as the top wizard Dumbledore, can't resist camping it up. The good additions are the enigmatically lewd David Thewlis as a mysterious professor named Lupin, whose name hints at his secret, and Emma Thompson as a spaced-out, frizzy-haired divination instructor. Even when Prisoner of Azkaban runs down, Cuarón's world is magically alive. Those paintings, with their own parallel vaudevillian universe, the giant flying hippogriff with its body of a horse and head of an eagle, the undulating landscape with its lakes like fjords and the occasional whomping willow. There's so much emotion in the filmmaking that this doesn't seem like a synthetic movie universe anymore. It feels real, Hogwarts and all.
David Edelstein is film critic for Slate.